actually hitting the cab.
Yep.
I'm just sitting in the
I just like make patterns in it.
Yeah, like gentlemen's
gentlemen's patterns.
I've been watching lots of Top Gear.
Gentleman's sausage.
Keep calling it. They call it a gentleman's sausage.
Gentleman's sausage. Yeah.
Meat and veg. Meat and two veg. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That's,
I like the combo with the ox. Is it ox bloody?
That's the ox blood. Yeah.
Grill cloth.
No. That's like George Costanza, you know, if it was socially acceptable, I would drape myself in velvet.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that brown velvet on the bottom, Kevin? Or was it purple?
Ooh, no. Oh, that's...
Yeah, that's brown.
It's brown.
That's
dark brown. Then I got a purple one over there as well.
Oh, yeah, cool.
A bit of purple suede.
It's very sweet. Prince.
Yeah, I like it. I always wanted a purple air. So I was like, yeah, I'll have a purple air.
I remember wanting. Are we recording?
Yeah, I've been recording for a while. I remember for the blooper
wanting a purple guitar, because this guy I saw play once had like a, it was like 96 or something, had like a Jackson or an Ibanez, I can't remember one, and it was like one of those like real sleek super strat things with a Floyd.
Oh,
it was like a purple
yeah.
burst with a quill that made the top.
Yep.
And it was the coolest thing. I was like 14.
I remember when Diesel had one, he had a purple guitar. And they had the Lady of Fatima painted on the scratch plate.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. Every time I see him, I was like, you still got that purple guitar? And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh, man, I always wanted that guitar.
But then, snakeskin.
Yeah, snakeskin.
That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, yeah. I just look at stuff and just go, man, yeah, it'd be cool to have a snakeskin guitar. Amp.
Yeah.
Purple velvet.
Soldano.
The old Bon Jovi Soldano.
Yeah, yeah.
My mum's actually got a sold on a 100 watt head, the quad box in the snakeskin.
Yeah, I think that's probably a bit too much, Nate.
Yeah.
I think it gets a bit
I know, you have too much. Snakeskin head, and then you've got the purple velvet speaker.
Yeah. But the next one, I think I'm going to do that one in a Marshall checkerboard, raw cab, and then I think I'm going to go purple suede on that.
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Tasty
sure. Le
or tan suede. A guy's got a collection of tan suede.
Oh, tan could be cool.
Yeah.
What colour grill cloth would you put?
I think I did. What was it? I think it was the wheat. The wheat coloured grill cloth.
Cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Because he was a Robin Ford fan.
Yeah.
Or was it Oxblood? Oh, I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But that looks great. I do really like that combo.
Yeah.
That's a cool combo.
Should we say hi?
Oh, yes. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Don't mind us. We're just chatting here. So welcome to the podcast. And we are here with Aaron Griffin. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're at Aaron's place. And Aaron is sort of doing lots of things, but he builds amps, he guitar techs, he repairs things. He wears down brakes on his Hilux.
Brake things.
He breaks brakes.
I think that combination of repairing things and breaking things go hand in hand, though.
I think it's...
It's a fine line, isn't it?
Yeah. I always wear stuff down until it breaks, and then I go, I'll have to get this fixed now. Yeah. So it was costing me too much getting stuff fixed, so I just fix it all myself.
That's a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
If I could, I would, but it'll get broken more if I try to fix it.
Yeah, well, that's hence my garage. There's a lot of broken stuff.
So you're building amps. Did you first just start tinkering and modding stuff?
I guess it first started repairing.
Hmm.
Well, one of my amps actually broke, and then I got it repaired, and it cost me a lot of money, and so then I thought, this is going to cost me a fortune if all my amps are going to start breaking down, which they all did.
Yeah.
So then I just started all fixing them myself, and then I started modding amps, and then it got to the point where I thought, I'm going to have a go at building an amp.
Well, what was the first one you built? Do you still have it, or?
No.
Hmm?
No, it was... I had an old Bassman 10 that I gutted, and I actually wanted to build a train wreck amp was
okay.
the first, yeah. And so I found a website that had a train wreck schematics on it, but they also had Dumble amps on there.
Yeah, cool.
And so then I just thought, oh, what's a Dumble amp? And then I found out it was like Stevie Ray Vaughan and Robin Ford and all that. So then I built my first Dumble amp, but didn't work. And so then I gutted it, started, did it all over again.
Take two.
And then it worked. Yeah, then it worked. And I was just like, oh, perfect.
Yeah, right.
And then gutted it and went, okay, I'm going to build it again properly.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I built one, collected all. It took me years to collect all the original parts.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
okay. And then, yeah, so built that.
Weren't a lot of them gooped up? And
yeah. So the early ones weren't, but later on they started. They were gooped.
Yeah, right.
But a lot of people have de-gooped them, and they started a few years ago. People were publishing photos of them, but it's stopped a little bit now. But, yeah, it just seems to be that every amp I build, I gut and build another one, so...
Right.
Until now, I started keeping them.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. Because I was in here one time, and you were actually building, like, the whole chassis frame. You build everything, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I get the chassis made up, like, made locally. I just give them the dimensions of what I want, and they'll build them up to what I need to.
Right.
And then, build all the cabs myself, cover them, I get all
blue
the...
Blue velvet?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm just rubbing a velvet.
I think you might need, with that one, maybe a straight front 4x12 cab to go with it. Your matching blue.
You reckon?
That would look sexy.
4x12?
Or 4x10, something big square.
I was thinking 4x10.
Because it's such a big head.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be photos and maybe a little video thing, so, you know, there'll be links to it. But we're just looking at one of the amps that Aaron built, and it's covered in, it's a head, and it's covered in like a blue velvet, and it's Oxblood, isn't it?
Oxblood grill. Yeah.
And it looks really, really sexy.
Yeah.
So this is...
And I keep rubbing it.
I love it, yeah.
Was there something in the burger you had for lunch? Because you're a bit tripping out on this velvet.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah, halloumi.
Yeah.
Maybe halloumi is funny things to
eat. It's just the velvet. Oh, that's what it is.
Caramel slice. Maybe it was the sugar. I shouldn't have sugar. Sugar's bad for me.
Small doses. I had a whiz fizz, so I'm all right.
So, actually, speaking of this blue one, so this is it's laid out like a classic Dumble type front plate.
So that one is pretty much just based on the Steel String Singer number 4,
okay.
Which is currently owned by John Mayer.
Right.
So, doesn't he own like most of them now?
Yeah, I think
he's between him and Bonamassa or something.
Yeah, I don't know if Joe, if he's got that many. I think he sold a few. Yeah, he's got a couple of early ones, but
yeah, right.
I think John Mayer's probably got one of the biggest collections, I think.
Has he really?
Of Dumbles, yeah. Wow.
Good, nice position to be in.
Yeah, and I think Kenny Wayne Shepherd's got a few Dumble modded amps. Yeah.
Does he still do any kind of amp modding and building? Dumble, Howard, or Alexander, or whatever?
As what I've heard, yes.
Okay.
There was, I know the latest ones he was building for Eric Clapton.
Right. Okay.
So I think he was getting some built, which is strange considering he's retiring from playing live, I think, anyway.
Eric is.
Yeah, right. But I think he was getting... I know he had a combo, and then I think he had a modded Bandmaster, and then I think he was getting another one made as well.
He's getting his Eric Clapton signature Fender amps modded.
Yeah. That's... So, the ones sitting on stage might not be the actual... Yeah.
The ones that are not plugged in.
The ones that don't have microphones in front.
Yeah. They've just got the EC badge on the front there, No offence to Fender.
Yeah. Well, we probably jumped ahead a bit. So with the circuits, because you probably know better than anyone else in the country, were they like modded Fender circuits originally? Like hot rodded up?
Like tone stage? Gain stage stacked or something?
Yeah, they're kind of based on probably a Blackface Fender.
Yeah.
With the power amp and the tone stacks. But what he did was separated the bass and middle controls.
Okay.
So usually on most amps, the bass is connected to the middle control.
Right.
So okay. If you turn the mid, it'll affect how much bass is going to the rest of the circuit as well.
All right.
Where he kind of like separated that.
Okay.
Which then makes those three more interactive and.
Okay.
Yeah, it's easier with getting a nice tone out of it. And then what he did with the reverb circuit too is put in a send control instead of like usual a Fender twin. The send is basically fixed on 10.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then you can actually blend it in.
So. Yeah, yeah. So he's got like a pre-gain and then.
Okay.
Cool. How's that actually change the sound of the reverb?
Well, then you won't have to hit the springs as hard.
Yeah. Is it sweeten it up, like more plate-ish or something?
Probably not. I mean, if you for a standard, basically a standard Fender sound would be the send control pretty much on 10.
Yeah.
Is
that but more springy?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, but I mean, with the other amps, like even the other one next to it is a slightly modified reverb circuit, so then it'll hit those springs a bit harder as well.
Yeah, right, cool.
Okay.
So I never even thought about, like, how it actually hits the reverb tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you're getting, like, a full sound hitting those springs where he kind of, like, put a control in where it would cut the signal that was hitting the springs. So okay. You weren't getting... You could... If you didn't want that real splashy sound, you could turn it down and get more of a, you know, like a room kind of sound instead of like a hall kind of sound. So
okay.
Cool.
Which then gives you the option then of, you know, you can have the returns, the send and returns. You know, you can have one turned up and the other one turned right down.
So you have less going in but heaps coming out. Like
He's coming out. So it's, you know, if you didn't want so much spring sound, you could turn the send
more,
down.
More ambience, yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay. That's interesting.
Oh, cool. There you go.
There you go. Now we know.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And then, yeah, he took, you know, I think one of his other amps was the Steel String Singer number 5, which is 150 watts, which has a higher output. So instead of having a standard phase inverter, he would have a driver as well, like SVTs, like the Ampeg.
Okay.
So it's just a louder, cleaner sound with very little breakup.
Is that what the Steel String Singers were all about? Is clean headroom?
Yeah, mostly clean. Some of them. I mean, they'll break up. The earlier ones will break up a little bit, but then some of the later ones are just they're clean.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So
you have to get it pretty loud to break up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the other one down there. That's 150 watts. and it's loud. It's
don't take it to a cover band gig.
No,
that's it. Noise complaints.
It's not RSL approved, I don't think.
Weddings and Malay.
No.
Malay
sounds
manor,
good though.
Yeah.
It sounds nice. If you need that low end thump,
right.
You won't get anything else that'll come close to it.
Very cool.
Very nice. We might, we're sort of working this all out as we're going along, but there's probably going to be some sort of video section with it where we're going to show some videos of the amps and maybe have some sound samples and stuff. So check the description.
Nailed it.
Doing well.
Yeah, cool. There's a couple of others you've built in the room here. Like,
there's...
Is that yours, the tweet?
The Tweed one, yeah, which is another one of Dumble's style amps, which is the...
it's one of my favourite pedals.
Oh, the Bisonic Expandora.
Love the Expandora, that's a
it's
great
It's an amazing pedal.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
I love you can't pedal. Help it, yeah, the pedal. Awesome pedal. But yeah, that's the Tweed Deluxe.
Was an awesome pedal.
It was.
Yeah, it's,
he'll fix it.
I don't know. You see, that's exactly why. Which is, that has some of the Dumble mods in there as well. But what I did with that one is I went, put in a 20 watt output.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you get a bit more headroom. So if you wanted to take it to like a, you know, smallish gigs, it would
blow everyone up.
Yeah, it would hold up a little bit better. But, well, I mean, basically what he does with that is just give the amp a little bit more headroom as well.
Mm.
Okay.
But yeah, there's that one, and you know, I built the Leslie cab.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's.
I wish I was in any way talented to build anything other than IKEA furniture.
Yeah, no. I've got some shelves that have been sitting there for two weeks that I'm going to put out. I like the challenge. Anything that's easy, I just go, I can wait.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a Leslie cab.
Very cool.
That I built, yeah. It just, you know, I had an old organ that died, so just pulled the...
speaker out.
Yeah, pulled the speaker and cool. the drum out of it and built the box for it. And yeah, it's come up pretty good.
Very nice.
Yeah, there's a few extra cabs around the place.
What's the snakeskin thing?
That one, again, is another Dumble style amp that he built a one-off amp for Rykuda.
Right.
Yeah, which apparently he didn't like anyway, so he gave it back to him. But
ooh, is that he's quite the eccentric dude. He probably wouldn't have liked that very much.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
it's just from what you hear. He's like the, you know, if you approach him to have an amp made,
No.
He has to approach you.
Yes.
Or something, isn't it?
I think there was an Aussie session guitarist who moved to LA, I think, in the late 80s, early 90s or something.
Okay.
And he was doing a lot of session work at a studio, and they had a Dumble amp there. And he... the studio put him in contact with Dumble, and he said, "I'll send me your, basically your resume. Send me a tape of what you can do, kind of thing." And apparently, Dumble replied and said, "Look, you're good, but you're not good enough for one of my amps."
That's gold. In some ways, like extremely douchey, but in other ways, that's just awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to rock and roll in the time, right?
Sorry, I don't have time for you. I've got to make one for Landau, sorry.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're good, but you're not quite there.
Yeah,
so.
For Landau.
No,
poor guy.
Have you heard of these guys, Clapton, Landau, John Mayer? I make stuff for them.
Jackson Brown, Dave Lindley.
Yeah,
so, Larry Carlton. So who are you again? Carlton.
You're a session muser, but you're not a famous session
muser. No, that's it.
Poor guy.
You hear some weird stories about that guy. Was his real name Alexander, and then he changed it to Howard, or was it real name?
It's Howard Alexander Dumble.
But didn't he change his name or something? Yeah, I just heard that on the Guitar Wank podcast.
Yeah, there's so much hearsay.
I don't know anyway.
Yeah, the people that have met him don't really speak. He's just in. You know, folklore kind of thing.
Yeah, it's funny how it's become like a myth.
Scott Henderson said he had one of his amps. That was on a because I listened to the Guitar Wank podcast.
Yep.
And he said he met him and had, he's just his odd, he talked about him a little bit, just what an odd dude he is.
Yeah.
But.
Who was one of the guys from the Eagles, I think, went around to his house, and they said, when you go to his house, it's just full. Every room has just got amp parts, and you walk down the hallway and there's just stuff everywhere. And
obsessed.
He's just, got all old parts that he's collected over the years and that.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Crazy.
So,
you like the snakeskin.
Back
to the snakeskin.
Like, that's all well and good, but there's a snakeskin header.
The difference with that one is... that was the first one I built I built that one because it has tremolo and reverb in it.
Sure.
Okay.
And I didn't have any amps with tremolo and reverb.
Yeah. Okay.
So I thought, that'd be a good one to try out first. And then it's got a different preamp in it again. It uses two EF86, which are pentode valves.
Okay.
Rather than a single 12 AX7 for all you guitar and gear nerds out there who know what I'm talking about.
I know of these.
What is triode and pentode?
So a 12 AX7 has two triodes in it.
Yeah.
Where an EF86 is a pentode. Yeah.
So what's the difference between those two?
You kind of get more gain and a bit more headroom out of like a pentode.
Mm.
But again, those ones, the pentode ones wired up is a triode, and the other
of course.
It's, yeah. Right. It's just an amp that he did one off, but.
So it's a snakeskin one, yeah? That's, you lost me there.
Yeah. But it's funny, I built it, and then I just went, oh, God, I hate that tremolo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why it's out of its shell, because it's, I've been meaning to redo it again.
Sure.
Like I usually do, I'll build something and go, nah, that's not what I'm really after. Gut it, start again. So.
Next.
So yeah, that's all I do.
So is that a train wreck type thing?
Yeah, oh yeah, that bear chassis is a train wreck.
Yeah, right.
Style amp, yeah.
Hmm.
Which is...
Good reading.
Yeah.
Train wrecked.
Yeah, well...
No, it's just, I had some old parts laying around and I thought, oh, I might build it. Set out what I wanted to do. Is it 15 years ago?
Yeah. Is there massive differences between the circuits, or is it like just variations on a theme?
For the train wreck ones, or
between a lot of these amps?
Like
say from obviously between Fender and the Dumble thing, is Marshall quite different to Fender stuff, or is it just a few components?
Circuit-wise, it's pretty different.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another extra, like a cathode follower gain stage. There's some extra different tone stack.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's an extra gain stage in there. So
Alex
yeah.
and I are the ones with glasses.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Oh, the old cathode follower.
You can't see me, but I'm nodding. Them.
Yes. we're nodding vigorously. Looking at each other, everyone's in the going, do you know what he's talking about?
Stop asking the difference between circuits. Anyway, back to the snake.
No. Black and white, eh?
Any other colours?
No, that's cool. I mean, it's funny how, like, I would consider myself quite a gear nerd, but then when that sort of stuff comes up, yeah, it's just no clue. And it's the same, we talked to a couple of months ago, Chris Palmer. Do you know Chris Palmer? Yeah. Brisbane guitar player, great guitar player. And he's like that, but in the pedal world, he will tell you... about every little component in it, and we were sort of sitting there going, no idea what he's talking
about.
No idea what he's talking about half of the time.
So does it sound like a tube screamer or what?
So was it green?
Does it have the mid hump?
This is when you go, yeah, we are quite nerdy, but maybe
it's maybe actually not that. He knew all the different chips in all the different memory mans.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
And it was just, wow. It's, yeah.
Like the, what is it, the MN3005?
I know that one.
And what's the other, is it a 3105?
They're all similar numbers, I remember that.
Yeah, it's variation. But
the old Panasonic chips, eh?
That's it, Panasonic, yeah.
They make TVs, you know.
Yes. I once had a radio of theirs.
Excellent.
Yes.
A radio, what is it, a radio all or something?
Yeah. I had a grum.
I used to
wind it up.
Yeah.
Just like the start of the car.
Sure, yes. Don't remind me of my car. My engine light just went on just before I came here, and it started making funny...
Bouncy
thingies
for all
you listeners out there, just in case you're wondering.
A bit of blue tack strategically placed.
Gaffer fixed it all.
As well as all the stuff you've built, there's quite a collection of toys in this room.
Yes, yes.
So this is your studio, isn't it? Like, obviously.
Yeah, I built it kind of as a studio, where I would come down.
Slash man cave.
Man cave, yeah. Just to store all my stuff, and I just thought I was just going to be an artist, and I'd be spending all my time down here writing songs, kind of thing. But it's just more of a workshop now, I think.
Hmm.
And good for nerding out with stuff. Yeah. As you know, when you came in here, I was in here trying out 3 Octavia pedals.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, just come down.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some cool old Marshall things. Because you told me about, was it the orange one was painted black?
The orange one was painted black.
Oh, yeah,
black.
You stripped it back, that's right. Yeah.
So what are they?
The top one's a JMP.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bottom one is...
Signed by Jim.
Signed by Jim, yes. I met the great man himself.
Jim Motsop. Yeah. Mozzo. Yeah.
It's Spanish.
What?
Mozzo?
Let me ripped off.
I met the Spanish distributor at Marshall.
Did he look at you funny? What is it? What do you want me to say this?
He was a nice,
very bad Spanish accent.
He was a nice
pan foreign accent. when did you meet Jim?
It was when he did.
In 1999.
Says it on the front.
And we partied like.
Yeah. It's a song about it.
He was doing a tour around the world, I think, visiting a few various Marshall distributors, and I was working down the road, and I took my Marshall in to work, and as per usual, I got the times wrong, and I kind of like got him just as he was walking out the door, and we had a quick 2-minute conversation.
You come.
Cool. Yeah, I was walking out. I was running down the street with the Marshall.
Probably not light.
No. And just as I got to the music shop, he was just about to walk out the door, and I was just dying of. Bloody, I wasn't the fittest kind of thing. So.
Just give me a second.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm so glad. I just need time. He's like, you must be Aaron. And I was like, yes, I am. And
security.
Yeah, so he just, I said, oh, you know, can you sign my Marshall? And he signed that for me. And he actually did signed a poster for me as well, just thinking that. Yeah, and had on there to Aaron, keeping time, Jim Marshall.
Yeah, cool.
Which I've now lost in the move somewhere.
Oh.
That was a cool dude.
Yeah, he was. Guy. Yeah, he was a nice guy.
Yeah, great.
He thought it was nice looking Marshall. So.
And so what is the orange one? The other head that's
the over. Orange one is a Marshall Artiste.
Ooh.
It's a 51.
That sounds fancy.
So it was.
Right.
I think it was they say it was Marshall's version of a Fender amp because it's got reverb in it.
Well, that's what
was it Blues Breaker? Wasn't that meant to be like the? Wasn't that what they were originally doing? Like
no, the Blues Breaker had tremolo.
Okay.
So isn't that what Chris had? That was kind of like supposed to be their version of a twin or something.
Oh yeah, what was the one Chris had?
He's got a
combo.
Yeah, 212 combo.
212 combo.
Oh yeah, that could be. Yeah, they built them in combos that look like the later Blues Breakers as well.
Yeah, it's
it looked like it. Yeah.
It's supposed to be. Yeah, their version of a 12.
Yeah, so it's like their version.
It must be that then, yeah.
Yeah, so that's.
Oh, wow.
Which was a great sounding amp.
Yeah.
I like the. I linked them together. The other side has like they've got two different tone stacks in it. So.
Okay.
Is it not a gain thing, but a tonal thing? While you chump the.
Yeah.
Cool.
So the other side's got a bit more of an aggressive, kind of sound because it's the type of tone stack that's in it. So I like blend them both together. It sounds pretty nice.
Very nice.
But yeah, that was originally black, and it took me a few days of scrubbing and got all the
you mentioned that.
It's definitely orange now.
It's which is good because I think they only did them in orange for 1 year,
what year was that?
72.
Oh wow, so that's fairly old.
Yeah, so 72 they did orange in that year only.
Awesome.
And then the one above it is a 72, but I bought an old Marshall PA head, and I gutted all that because it's basically a plexi, and I put it all in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that wasn't 100% original, so
okay.
Had a few, like a transformer replaced and a few bits and pieces replaced in it. So, yeah, I got an old amp and put it in there.
Cool.
So it's sounds good when it works. It's a bit noisy in that, but
yeah.
It's part of the Marshall charm, if you like that sound. It's
some people like call it charm.
Yeah.
Character.
Yeah. And then I got another amp here that was originally black as well that I scrapped off.
Oh, yeah?
Like it's an old.
It still is black. It's a cover.
Hey.
Oh, he's tricking you. It's for the dramatic entrance.
Dun, dun, dun. I remember that last time you were saying as well. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Someone painted it black.
Yeah, so it's a brown face deluxe.
Deluxe amp.
Yeah.
And the Fender. Is it
Electric Instrument Company.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was same thing. That was painted black by someone, and again a few days of scrubbing and it all came good.
Cool. Cool. How old's that one?
That one's a 64, I think it is, or 63.
Yeah, one.
Cool. 63, I think. Yeah.
So two channels and vibrato or trem?
Trem, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's got the valve trem. I like the valve trem.
Yeah, a bit.
So that's what I'll probably put in the snake skin, is put a valve tremolo in it.
Okay, cool.
Instead of the opto trem.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, it's an old box. So it's, that's a 62, I think it is. Oh, yeah. 62 bucks.
And they're renowned to break down all the time as well.
They run so hot.
It's yeah, right.
Good, yeah.
Is that why they
break
down?
They just cook.
Yeah. No.
Literally, they just cook inside. But yeah, it goes all right.
I remember watching the Brian May rig rundown.
Oh, and he's got 12 of them or something.
Yeah, but then they have twice as many off stage as well, because they swap them all the time.
Yeah.
Because
<'cause
laughs> he runs. Because he can do that.
Because he can do it, yeah.
Well, he runs them hot with a booster as well.
That's it.
Yeah, trouble.
So they just... Yeah, they cook.
I just remember that guitar tech he was saying he was getting very good at fixing boxes because they constantly always swap them.
Yep. They're terrible to put your beer on.
Oh yeah,
it's just
in summer
they heat up way too quick.
Don't put your chocolate bar in it either, people.
No. Speaking of food, yes, you know.
Paninis?
Yeah.
You get two boxes on top of you. Two box grill.
Put your crispy creams or something on there.
Nice. And an old basement head and cap?
Yeah, that's an old 64 or something, I think it is. Yeah.
It's very pretty.
That's one that's on my list at one stage. You want to get an old basement. That's
The old Brian Setzer.
Oh, yeah.
So that's,
and you need that spring reverb tank on top of it as well.
You need the Roland. Yeah.
Space Echo.
Yeah. The Space Echo, yeah. Yeah, I saw him a few months ago and he had the Bassman.
Saw Brian Setzer?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yep.
How was that?
He's great.
Oh, he's amazing. I've
never seen him before and he was just as a four-piece band.
Mm. Okay. Not with the whole orchestra thing.
No. It's just him and the guy playing honky-tonk piano. Cool. It's unreal, yeah. But he had one of those. And what was it? He had that, the Space Echo, and a twin reverb.
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
And then the exact same thing behind it, the spares.
Well, again, I think there was a rig rundown, Premier Guitar rig rundown I watched, and he has, like, I don't know, 20 of them or 30 of them, and they always swap them as well. Cause
Yeah, it was just, had that, and then the exact same setup behind it, and I thought, that's
the luxury of
Gretsch straight into the front of it.
Crank it.
Sounded so good.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, he's great too. He's
super cool.
Yep.
And then lots of pedals there too.
Yeah.
What's this?
Oh, the red amp. Yeah, sorry, it is.
Oh, that's just
hiding behind Alex.
Is that like a test type thing?
Yeah, that was just I had a mate gave me an old chassis and. And I just had stuff laying around, so I just thought, I'll build an amp out of it. So it's kind of like half JCM 800, and then the other channel's like just another Dumble-style channel.
Okay.
Huh?
But had all. Again, it's not working. I've started gutting it.
I sense a recurring theme here.
Is it just easy to reuse chassis and...
Yeah. So I'll build a circuit to try it and then just go, it's not what I thought. So usually I'll just, there's only two of them, I think, that are like that at the moment, so I'm pretty happy with myself.
Yeah, well, there's, behind us there's four. There's
four heads behind me,
Yep. Well, one of those is kind of sold and the other one will be up for sale.
Oh, so which ones are yours?
The bottom two.
Okay.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. They're kind of like the bottom two, are like prototype ones that...
Sure.
Oh, okay.
But I'll never sell those. They're a bit hacked up inside. I'm not, my version of hacked up. So I'll just keep those.
It's fun to keep the first ones too, because they're kind of...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It's a bit more like a sentimental thing as well.
Yeah, well, the...
This is how I got to where...
Well, they're made from like from old vintage parts and that as well. Oh, okay. So.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah.
So I keep those. And
so, do you actually notice the sound between new parts and old parts, new old stuff?
Nah.
Cool.
No. Ooh, hate mail below.
Oh,
that's a controversial statement there. Which
interest expressed by those are not part of it. Yes.
Nah. Talking about this earlier, about, you know, you might, in a bedroom or a studio, you might, you know, hear the difference between like an unbuffered circuit and like this high quality cable.
Yeah.
Get to a gig, drummer's hitting
eight customs
in your ear.
There's a lot of, especially on in the online community, there's a lot of very, very, very strong opinions.
Yeah.
And people getting very upset if you're not agreeing with their opinion.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, we've copped a little bit of that already.
Yeah. I mean, I went through collecting old parts, old valves, old capacitors, and all those things just eventually fail.
Yeah, like, is there a reliability issue with those things too?
Yeah.
Yep. Maybe listening to a... excuse me. Yeah, some lunch coming.
I've got allergies galore. That's why I'm making noises all the time. I've got allergies going today. It's windy and it's spring,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Getting old.
And I'm getting old too.
We're all getting old.
There's this interview with some recording engineers in LA, and they talk about how, you know, everyone likes the old vintage 1073s, this knee, this and that, this APIs from 1977 something, blah, blah, blah. And
Diggity two.
Yeah.
The thing is, they're all big, fat and warm because they're actually losing fidelity because all the caps are drying out.
Yeah. And it's so noisy, half of them, you know,
and then
don't work.
To recap and get them back to the day they were built, they actually sound like modern things because they're rebuilt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like... Do you buy the vintage thing and it's dark and it's actually not working properly, but it's warm and lush, but you're actually losing top end in your signal.
Yeah.
That's why it's warm.
Even like... Ooh,
it's like not using a buffer.
Yeah. Actually, question, personal opinion, do you prefer buffered or non-buffered?
Me personally? Yeah. I use a million effects. I prefer buffered.
Oh, really?
I've got... My pedal board is about as big as this room, so it's not quite like Peter's triple pedal board now.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's getting there.
Yeah, I think Ian's gone double pedal board now.
Oh, as well, lucky, yeah. Lucky you.
God, I'm not there. Yeah, I'm a non-buffered.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
The true bypass.
Yep. Yep. I had my KTR set to the.
Oh, almost always worse.
Yeah.
I actually like it with.
Put your fingers in your ears, Bill Finnegan.
You like the buffer on
the KTR, do?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I have actually tried the difference, but I mean, I use pedal switches and stuff, but I got this interface made by Goodwood Audio, which is just an interface where you go in and out, and you can flick it so you can have stereo out and all that sort of stuff. But that's buffered, and I tried it with and without it, and I do like it with. I do. It does. But again, I use lots of pedals and quite long cable runs because I'm usually the one doing the sound at gigs too.
Yep.
So I need a long cable to go out the front while I'm playing to mix.
Okay. Yeah.
With the iPad. And to me, I do. I don't know. There's something. It's for me more the feel, I think, changes.
I just I don't like buffered the way it works with other effects, I find.
Well, fuzzes and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to put it in the right place.
Yep. But then, I mean, I guess if you had it at the end of your signal, I guess.
Well, it is the... That buffer is right at the end, so it's...
Oh, so it's not affecting your other pedals?
No,
like,
no.
Oh, okay.
You have the option.
You're right,
you
then.
Have...
That's okay.
stand down, big tough guys.
Okay, cancel the hate mail.
Cool, because on the way in, you have the option of having a buff on the way in.
Yep.
But on the way out, it's always there. But on the way in, I go into the bypass because I do have like a fuzz factory, and that's
that doesn't
work after.
Yep.
I love the fuzz. That's one of my all-time favorite pedals.
Yep.
That doesn't like buffers, so that has to come first before everything else.
Yep. Interesting. Very interesting.
Sorry.
Back to amps. Back to the
back to the snake skin.
Speaking of amps, we've got a microphone sitting on a cool one.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
That's right. Right in front of us.
I have no tables.
Was this at Music at Noosa recently?
No, that's a different one. That's a smaller version.
Okay, because I remember the look of it, yeah.
Yeah, so for those listening, it's a Golden Tone, which is an Aussie company, and it's a 960 is the model number.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like that guy's playing drums. Is he playing drums?
Is he waving in?
It could be a conductor.
Oh, he's a conductor? Oh,
he's waving in airplanes on a...
Yeah, he's got the two.
In a nude, because it has a, in a nude, because it's got a bum crack.
Oh. Maybe he just has
interesting
pants, not a skirt.
He's got high cut
very
pants.
Very tight pants.
High cut pants.
Wedgie kind of pants. Yes.
So is this 60s?
It's a 62 from the dates on it.
I do like the grill cloth. It's kind of...
It is.
Yeah, it's got the...
It's funky.
The RSL carpet kind of thing.
Yeah, so that's... It's RSL carpet.
It is a little bit RSL.
Don't drop your pick on there.
All your non-Australians won't understand.
But yeah, it's a twin. It's actually got 230-watt amps in it. Two separate amps in there.
Oh, right. Wow, okay.
Yeah, so... And there's a switch on the front that can run it either in mono as a 60-watt amp, or then 230-watt amps, or if you pulled off your...
Is that for two guitar players in the band?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So if they plug in either input, their sound will come out either speaker. Cool. So it won't share the speaker, like, so...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. One will have one, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Independent volume and tone controls.
Did you hear a lot of that back in the days, like, what was his name? Country player has a Music Man signature guitar.
Albert Lee.
He was on Guitar Wank, and they were talking about the whole band basically plugged into one amp.
Yeah.
Vocals.
Everything just plugged into one. It was like
it's four inputs.
But I guess, you know, that was the way to do it back in the days before you could buy PAs with iPad controls and stuff.
Yeah, but the cool thing about this amp too is when you turn the reverb on, one side is completely dry sound and the other side is reverb only.
Wet and dry.
That's cool.
Nice.
And then the second channel volume and tone controls become the volume and tone controls for the reverb.
For the reverb. Oh, cool.
And this tremolo, so does it come out both... Is it stereo tremolo?
Does it go... Is it stereo tremolo?
No.
Oh, that would be cool.
So the tremolo only works... I can't remember now whether it works. I think on it does both when it's in mono mode, I think.
Yeah, cool.
And you have two inputs for each channel, is that
right? Yes, so the high and low input for each channel. Okay.
Cool.
Interesting.
And then that's the tremolo.
Yeah, because I had a quick fiddle with one. There was one at Music at Noosa.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that was the one.
Yep. And I think it's a little bit smaller. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's cool. I love the speakers in it. A pair of old Al Nikos in there.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Cool.
It's a great little amp, actually.
Golden Tone.
Mm. Might say a quick listen after this.
Yeah.
We'll do some. We'll do some.
Open for trades.
Cool. 1-800. All right. Well, going from this now to like building amps and collecting stuff. How did you get into guitar teching stuff?
I don't know. I guess I mean, my main gig is with the church, the band, the church, not a church, not a religious church,
but the church,
yeah. And I guess I've been friends with Pete for a few years before I got the gig with him anyway, and. We were just talking one day and I just said, if you need a guitar tech, let me know. And he just said, I'm looking for one. So,
yeah, cool.
That was a few years ago now. And yeah, just.
He's a cool dude, Pete. I like him.
Yeah.
I met him because I started doing teaching for him while he was on tour.
Yep.
And nice guy.
Yeah, like Pete. Yep. So they're doing, they're over there at the moment actually on a six week tour.
I really like the. that song, we shared it with that really trippy film clip.
The new single.
One of the new singles of a new album. Really spacey sort of song. Faux something.
Cool track.
It's a really cool song.
I don't care what it's called.
Oh, it's terrible.
next time you do a tour with them, Pete will remind you of it every time.
Sorry, guys.
What is it called? Faux something or other?
Yeah.
As in faux, as in F-A-U-X. Like.
Oh, is that the new single that's just been released?
Yeah, with a really trippy film clip.
I haven't seen the film clip.
We shared it on our thing because we talked to Pete, a couple of months ago now?
Yeah, a little while, yeah.
What is it called? Seymour. I'm just checking my Facebook. So that weather lately. Faux italic. This one here.
Put it on for a sec.
I really like, it's a cool song.
That's not called faux italic, is it?
That's what it says above it.
Is it?
I don't know. Directed by blah 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 for italic 2017. Unless that's not the song title.
No, that's not the song title.
Okay. Well, whatever the song is called, I like it. It's a cool song.
It's a good song. I like. Yeah. The last tour was promoting that single.
Okay. Oh, was that on the last tour? So it's not the new one that's coming out.
No, I think there's a new. Oh, Scoop.
Scoop, hey, you heard it here first.
Unless it's been released, I think there's a new single coming out.
Okay.
Shortly, yeah.
Well, yeah, I really like that song. It's a cool track.
Oh, I gotta think.
And I love that, the low guitar song.
I'm gonna tell you what it's called. Where's my
maybe
phone?
That's the video company or something.
Don't know. Well, I don't know what it's called, but that's what it says on the top of the thing, and that's what I assumed it was maybe called. But
I'll tell you in a second.
It's a cool name for a song, though, even if it's not.
Yeah, if it's not, I'll use it. Next song I write.
Next song.
It's Peter Copper's Faux Italic. That's what it's called. That's what I'm going to call it.
And the Faux Italic.
Yes.
Another Century.
Another Century. Well, there you go.
Cool.
Okay.
That's what it was called. At time of last print, anyway.
Yeah, because
well, anyway,
it might have changed now. The album.
I really like that. It's a cool song. Cool track.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
And he seems like a fairly particular sort of fellow when it comes to his effects and.
Yeah, his Pete's sound is sound that he's had for
decades.
Same pedals, same rack.
They're all is it an old Roland thing or something that he told us about or
what was it? Yeah, it's a Behringer. Foot switcher thing. The big foot switcher. Yep.
But I mean the rack thing, that
is it the Roland?
Particular reverb sound that he always uses. Yeah.
There's a Sony reverb.
Oh, Sony, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I remember him talking about the Sony.
And then
is that cool? I've seen it around the place.
Yeah, it's like four channels it's got in it, yeah.
Oh.
So, and then he's got a Digitech, like a pitch shifter thing.
Okay.
Which gives him like his strings.
The shimmer sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. But on the last tour, he started using Big Sky.
But he still brought all the other stuff anyway.
Yep.
And probably still will.
Yep. Yep. There's some other songs in there, like, I can't remember.
So how much stuff do you fly with? Like,
heaps.
Heaps?
Yeah. I think all up, there might be 40 cases or something. Ooh, like that.
All right.
So we're a check-in's worst nightmare. It's
yeah.
It's kind of a little bit funny when you go to priority check in and you just see all these other people behind you going, "We're priority and this is taking forever." And we're just like, "Well, we've got 40 items to check in, so."
Yep.
And
probably all the guys from the band are off somewhere else anyway. It's probably just you.
No, we're all together.
All together?
Everyone stays together.
Okay.
And we all check in together. And
okay,
that's good.
Yeah. Yep. Otherwise, yeah, it's...
Otherwise, half the cases wouldn't go.
No, well, yeah, exactly right. It's just like, we'll check your own stuff. So, yeah. So, no, we all...
You didn't want every guitar, did you?
Do everything all as a band, especially the fun stuff like that. It's just...
Yeah. Fun stuff, yeah.
So, how many crew are there?
Usually have, like, a tour manager and sound guy,
mm-hmm.
Two techs. usually, so like a stage right and a stage left.
Yep.
And sometimes a lighting guy with them as well. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So. Nice.
But it's amps and stuff like that, is that just hired or you take it, bring in some of it? Like, because I know there's a Vase stuff. Is Ian with Vase now or something like that?
He's got a Vase headed. It all depends. He's got Orange. He uses Orange head.
So you probably hire that overseas.
I think he bought a cab over there, but yeah, usually we hire a cab there. And okay. Pete's got a Black Star endorsement, so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You usually get something over there as well. And I mean, they've got gear that sits in storage over there too.
Oh, so they have like European, American tour gear and stuff like that?
No, not in Europe, but in the States. We've got, there's amps that just live over there.
Because it's funny, they're not that big here, but they're quite big over there, aren't they?
Yeah.
Or bigger there than here. Because I mean, here, you say the church and it's, most of the time go, oh, who are they again? And then, you know, under the Milky Way, oh, yes.
Yeah, it's straight like, usually when I tell people, oh, yeah, tech for the church, and they go, oh, like, Hillsong. No.
The opposite. The band.
So.
The really not religious guys?
I think over there, because, like they were massive in the college scene over there, and all those bands over there, like the Church and Gurus and In Excess and Men at Work, and all those guys did all the
college scene,
all the college gigs and all that, which is just like a massive thing over there.
Okay.
Yeah,
I guess they all grow up and
they grow up listening to it, and they're just they're all diehard fans. And so, I mean, with Australia, it's exactly the same. Like we've done, you know, tours over here, and you see, you know, you start to become friends with some of the, you know,
the guys that keep coming.
Yeah,
because
they're pretty. Yeah, they're nice guys. Yeah, get on well with them.
Yeah, cool.
It's good over there. And I mean, America's so big. You can, I mean, it's not like, you know, on the coast here where you can do one gig here. Where, you know, over there you can.
You
do gigs in, you know, you could probably do 20 gigs in one state over there in one.
It's much denser population.
I think, like, physically Australia's probably the same size, but there's, you've got to drive 7 hours to get to the next town.
Yeah.
Or 8 hours or 9 hours.
Well, not quite, but.
If you're going to Brisbane.
Well, each capital, like if you were to do a capital city.
City, yeah, that's quite a lot, like,
you're doing a 12-hour
day drive.
We're over there, you know, it's 5 hours, and it's like Europe as well. It's the same.
Much.
Like 3-4 hours, and you're in a different
country, different language.
Yeah. Different currency.
I grew up over there. My homeland.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So, what's in the future? What's coming up? Any scoops, insider scoops on either the Sleepwalk amps or.
More ideas for amps you want to do?
There was one amp that I built a few of. I called it the Cream Tone.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was kind of British inspired.
Ah. Maybe Marshop.
Fendop.
All those classic Spanish bands.
I don't know. It's I mean, yeah, sometimes I've built a few amps or a few things that people have wanted, like a certain style amp, or they'll play a deluxe and go, oh, I want it with reverb, or I want it with tremolo, or something like that, or like, oh, can you build this style amp? And I just kind of, just like the challenge and just build it and then think, damn, I wish I didn't have to sell it.
I've got to build another one.
Build two.
I just want to keep them all. That's the bad thing.
Well, if they're covered in velvet like that.
Oh, I love that. As soon as I finished it, I took it upstairs to show my wife, and I said, look, I don't care if this amp never sells.
It looks great.
She's like, again, well.
Check links somewhere.
One will come up on the screen.
And As far as cabs go, do you have favourite speakers to put with different types of amps?
I go through and sort out speakers with different amps like you would not believe. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm always buying speakers and trying different things. And
it's a bit of work to A-B things, hey? Like,
yeah, like
it's not just quick, isn't it? Yeah.
The old battery in the drill gets a workout. Just take all the back off, unsolder everything, put new speakers in, put it all back together. No, that doesn't sound good. Because you'll find one style of speakers will sound good with another amp, and then you think, oh, that sounds great. Then you plug in another head, and you just think, oh, it just sounds terrible.
Yeah,
right. I need like a design a test cab where you can kind of just clipping them in somehow?
Well, what I should be doing is, I mean, but even if you have them from the, if you mount them from the front or if you mount them from the back, they have a different tone to them as
okay.
well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So that's the only thing too is if I test them mounted in the front, you think, oh, that sounds great. And then you put it all together and just think, oh, now it just doesn't sound right. So. But I think I like EVs, which is the classic Dumble style. Speaker. They're great speakers, but geez, they weigh a ton.
I do, yeah. I've got a spare one in the cupboard at home. And it's like,
yeah.
Every time I pick it up.
Well, that's a 2x12, that one. It's probably, that 2x12 cab's probably easy. Only as heavy as the 4x12.
Okay.
With Celestians in it, so it's.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not light, but yeah, that's EVs. I've got some old 80s Celestians in that one, which sound pretty nice. So usually if I find a speaker that I like, I'll just keep buying those speakers when I see them, when they come up for sale somewhere. But yeah, it's...
Very cool.
Yeah, the EVs and Celestians are my favourites.
Mm-hmm. Nice one. Well, should we get some...
Should we do some sounds?
Footage and sounds and stuff?
Yeah.
What's it? How long have we been going for? 56 minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like CWA meeting.
All right. Cool. We'll be back right after this.
Yeah.